Last week, we started talking about our homes being God's training camps, and this week, we're going to conclude the message. So we're going to start off reading Psalm 127, verses 1 through 5. As soon as Dave brings her up, we'll get going. If you'd stand, we'll honor God's word. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Father, as we go into your word today, may you help us to be the parents, the grandparents, and if we live long enough, Lord, be blessed with great-grandchildren to help in each generation to make the arrows you give us straight. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, we said that God gives us children in our marriages as arrows. And we mentioned last week that an arrow is a stick. And if you go out in the nature, you hardly ever find a straight stick. They have to be straightened. And the same exact thing is true with our children. They have to be straightened also. We said last week, if you're having some trouble as a parent or a grandparent, don't beat yourself up. Just learn how to do it better. And we all have to learn, because when we had our first children, we'd never had children before. It was all new to us too. It's all new to all of us. And so we learn right along with our children, and we try to help them. Our key verse for this week was Ephesians 6:4, and it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." And so last week looked at six different things. We got through the first three, things that parents do, and sadly on a fairly regular basis, that exasperate their children. When we say exasperate, what we mean is there's no hope. There's no way I can live up to what you want me to be. It's not working. And so we don't want to exasperate our children. And we said last week, six different things. We started off with the first one. We said if we're overly protective of our children, if we're always there, if they can't make any decisions on their own, if everything is predetermined by us and they have to do it exactly the way we say, it will exasperate our children, because your child is not you. And I know that's hard for some parents to understand. You think it's I and my wife, the two of us, this child has to be just like us. Folks, I hope you know that's not true. Because it's not just you and your wife. It's your wife's parents and grandparents and their grandparents and their grandparents. And on your side, it's you, it's your parents, their parents, and their parents, and their parents. And God can take any combination of any of the genes from any of those people and put it into that little one. And they're so much different than you are, you can't even understand it. How can it be? It's God. God says he forms the child of the womb. He makes those choices, what hair color they're going to have, what color eyes, what kind of temperament, what kind of skills, natural, they're going to get. God does that. And so as parents, we said last week, if you're overly protective, two words you need to know. Back off. Let that child get a bruised knee. Paul said that he went to the ball game and he bruised his knee this week, so you can pray for Paul. But you know, a bruise in life isn't the end of life. A bruise is something we can learn from, and children need to get some bruises. I mentioned when I grew up, we didn't have training wheels on bikes. You just fell off. Did it hurt? You bet it hurt. But did you want to ride that bike? Oh man, with all your heart, because the older kids get to go places. And kids want to go places. And so you just get back on the bike. It's good for kids to get hurt sometimes. All pain is not bad. Some pain we can really learn. And when parents won't allow their children to learn, it makes them wrathy. The second thing we said was if you are too permissive. In other words, the first one is the hovering parent just there all the time. The second one is the parent, hey, you do whatever you want to do. We don't have any rules in our house. There's no curfew. There's no, you don't, if you want to go to school, go to school. If you don't want to go to school, you don't have to worry about going to school. Who cares? Well, I got to tell you, God is a God of organization and rules. He has order. In our society, there are certain things that every child must know in order to succeed in life. And if you're too permissive, your child's not going to think that they have to obey anybody. They ought to just pay me, and I don't have to do what the boss tells me to do. Folks, life doesn't work that way. And your child would get exasperated. The third thing we said was playing favorite. In other words, why can't you be like your sister? She gets all A's. Why don't you? Well, I'm not her. Could we be different? Well, yes, you could, but not with that parent, because they want you to be exactly like the one they like the best. Folks, we talked last week about Isaac and Rebecca showing favoritism to Esau and Jacob. And we said that passed on to Jacob, who played favorites with his 12 children. He picked out one, Joseph, that he loved the most and gave him that coat of many colors. And it created all kinds of trouble in his family. When you play favorites, you're heading for trouble. You're going to exasperate your children. They are not the same. We had four children. Everyone was exactly the opposite of the others. None of them were alike. It's an amazing thing, but it's the truth. When you have children, don't compare them one to another and say, why can't you be like Sally or Timmy or whoever? Number four now, we're going to get into new territory. If you set unrealistic goals, you will provoke your children to exasperation. In other words, when you were a child, you wanted to be a star football player, but you just didn't have the right genes. But my son is going to be the best football player that ever lived. And every minute of every day, you're training that boy, you're pushing that boy, and that boy hates football. Some kids hate football. There's nothing wrong with that. When we had children, we told them all, we're going to have you experience all different kinds of sports. If you want to play them, you can. If you don't, you don't. My boys, both of them, didn't care too much. They played baseball and stuff, but they didn't care one way or the other. But my girls were athletes. They loved it. They loved the competition. But we let each one decide for themselves. They don't have to be the best. We talked about sports, but you know, girls also get pushed in this fashion as well. Mother always wanted to be the beauty queen, and she could never be the queen on the court. And so she raises her 3- and 4- and 5-year-old daughter with all kinds of beauty treatments, all kinds of girly stuff, because she's going to be the queen. And she couldn't care less about being the queen. That's the furthest thing. It doesn't matter to her. Folks, you will exasperate your children. So we need to be careful. We said if you play favorites, you're going to create problems. Jacob, let me see where I'm at here. There we go. Okay. Moving on. Number five, if you neglect your children. Some parents are not at home parents. They're always on the road. They're always gone. I don't know how you spell love, but children spell love, T-I-M-E. Take time for me. Folks, if you have no time for your children, if you're too busy, your kids are going to get exasperated. They need you. God gave them two parents, a man and a woman, to be with that child, to love that child, to spend some quality time with that child. Heard a story about a traveling evangelist. He was a youth evangelist, and he was always on the road working with children. And we say, why? Good, somebody's got to work with those kids. But the problem was he was gone so much working with other people's kids that he came home one weekend, and he heard his little boy talking to the little neighbor boy across the fence. And his own son said to the neighbor, well, hey, would you like to play catch? And he said, well, I can't because I'm going to play catch with my dad. And this traveling evangelist heard his son say, man, I wish my dad would play catch with me sometimes, but he's so busy. He's always playing with other kids. That hurt that dad so bad that he began to change his schedule so he could be home with his son. Folks, we need to be careful, because if you don't take time for your children, David, King David, is a prime example of this. David was an important man. He was a busy man. He's the king of a great nation. But he was so busy, he spent no time with his children. And Absalom tried to kill his own dad. You will exasperate your children. So, last one of the six. It almost goes without saying, if you abuse your children, and we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school today, parents abusing their children. By abuse, we talk about physical abuse a lot, but there's also emotional abuse and verbal abuse. There's all kinds of different things. And I'm going to say the last one that I hope you are not involved with, but sexual abuse. If there's sexual abuse at all in your family, you need help today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. You've got a serious problem. Verbal abuse, emotional abuse, telling your children they're stupid. Children do spill their milk. Get used to it. They're children. I've heard parents say, how can you be so stupid? You spill your milk every day. You're a klutz. What does that do to a 3 or 4 or 5-year-old child? Folks, I've heard parents say, when are you going to grow up? And a 5-year-old, if they had enough intellect, they'd say, well, I hope not today. I kind of enjoy being a kid, Dad. Give them time. They'll get there. We need to be careful with that, because parents expect their children to be perfect. They come to us as crooked sticks. It's our job to help them to mature, not to berate them, not to put them down. So those are the negative things. We said we were going to deal with the negatives first, and now we're going to switch to the positives. Again, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Literally, that means to train them in the things and the disciplines of God. You know, before a father or mother can do that, you have to know what the disciplines are. That means, Dad and Mom, when you get ready to have children, and grandpas and grandmas, you better pay attention to and study the Word of God so that you know what to tell them. Because they're being taught today in the schools that they're attending day after day exactly the opposite of what God says is right. You need to know that, because it's getting worse, not better. As a parent, when you come home and your child starts to talk to you about evolution, do you know anything about evolution and why it's not true? Can you help your child to go, if they're going to stay in the public schools? And I'm getting more and more where I'm advising people, if you can possibly afford it, do not keep your children in a public school. All the schools around us, there are things going on that if parents knew what was going on, they would think twice, I think. Just even a non-Christian, just with common sense, you would think, I don't want my daughter in a school where the boys can come into the girls' bathroom. I don't want my daughters in a public school where boys can come into the showers if they claim to be a boy or a girl. Folks, that's what's going on. And you need to know those things so that you can help them. So there are certain practices that we need to learn how to do as Christian parents and grandparents and great-grandparents if we live long enough. Number one, we need to bring them up in a loving environment. Folks, homes today, many homes have no love at all. It's like it's a business. We're raising kids. Well, man, I don't want to raise kids. Folks, if you don't love kids, maybe you ought not to have any, you know. If you love kids and you love being around kids, your children are going to know, because your home will become a training camp to train those little crooked arrows how to fly for God, how to live a life that's godly and successful and has meaning and has purpose. Today, so many kids, do you know that child suicide is the number one killer of children today? It's not accidents anymore. It's not heart attacks. It's not any sicknesses. It's suicide. Children as young as 6, 7, 8, 10 years old are committing suicide. Why? Because life has no meaning. There's no hope. Folks, I never even thought about there being no meaning and no hope until I was about 25. It never crossed my mind. I'm a kid. I just want to enjoy life. That's the way it should be. But when you get everything confused, everything upside down, it's difficult enough for a husband and a wife to raise their children. But God in the Old Testament said that he hates divorce. Do you know why God hates divorce so much? It's because it leaves one parent to take care of their children. Now, I want to tell you, it's very difficult when we see single mothers trying to care for their children. I don't know the young gal's story that was here today very much, but it almost looks to me like she might be one. Three children, trying to get a job at Gabe's, trying to get money to raise her kids, and no car. So, and lives on East Street, so it's quite a walk to Gabe's. But she's trying. And so we give her credit. A friend of mine is a single dad. And I want to tell you, I can't imagine being a single dad. I really did love my kids. I loved being with them. But when we were just newly saved, I think we were saved just probably a half a year to three quarters of a year. And we had two children by that time. Mimi wanted to go to a ladies' retreat. And I said, well, sure, go ahead. Shane was about 2.5 and Amy was 4 or 5 months. I said, go ahead, no problem. I think it was a 3-day retreat. Man, when she got home, I was so glad to see Mimi home. I didn't mind at all her being a stay-at-home mom anymore. I was glad she was. And I really do love kids. I've always loved kids. But boy, trying to take care of them all by yourself is a tough job. So when we plan for children, we have to plan that we're going to spend some time with them. We're going to train them right from wrong. We're going to train ourselves first. And I got to tell you, we're going to talk about this in a minute. But a man or a woman who's trying to train their children for God and is not living it at home is going to have a very difficult time with this, because your children watch you. They watch everything you do. If you ever see a little boy and his dad's got a hat on, most of the time that boy's going to try to get a hat like his dad. And you see a mom that's wearing high heels, it won't be very long, her daughter's going to be trying high heels even though she can't stand up yet in them. It doesn't matter. They love you and they want to be just like you. And so we need to be careful how we live. We need to show our children in our homes that we love their mother. Dads especially. This is so important. Your children love their mother. And they want to know that you do too. You need to lavish kisses and hugs on your wife all the time. Why? Because your children, it gives them security. My dad loves my mom. They're going to stay together. Our kids, when they got to be about 11 or 12, would come home from school and say, Dad and Mama, are you guys staying together? Because another one of their friends had just announced their parents were going to have a divorce. And it was my joy as a dad to tell them that we are Christian. Because of that, we are committed till death us do part. There's nothing more important for a child to know than that. Dad and Mom are going to be here. Dad and Mom love us, and they love each other. We need to raise our children in a loving atmosphere. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14 says, do everything in love, and especially in your home. I can't advise anything more severely. Number two, we need to bring them up spiritually in a nurturing environment. We need to train them and instruct them as our primary verse, Ephesians 6:4, said. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The word training is the cultivation of the minds and the morals of the child, putting it into their minds over and over. Number one, that there is a God. Every day, we sang that song this morning about nature proclaiming the glories of God. Every day you have opportunities. You can talk to them in the night about the stars, and you can tell them how far away they are and how big they are, and that God keeps them all in perfect order for centuries. It amazes children. When you see a rainbow in the sky, what an opportunity to tell them about the promise of God, that there's never going to be a flood to cover the whole earth anymore, and God gave the rainbow as the sign. When you see a butterfly coming out of a cocoon, what a wonderful opportunity to tell them about the new life in Christ. It's all around us. It's everywhere. And we have the opportunity to teach our children. When you see a young oak tree coming up, you can show your child the acorn. And you can show them that God says that tree begets after itself. If you have an oak tree here, you're never going to get a maple from that oak tree. It doesn't work that way. And you can begin to explain the ways of life. We have in our church, and we haven't done it in a while because we haven't had young children in a while, but we have a parent-child dedication. We don't call it a baby dedication because the baby can't be dedicated yet. What we're talking about is parents raising their children for God's glory, dedicating themselves that, Lord helping me, I am going to teach my children about the Lord. There are opportunities, as we mentioned, throughout the day to do this, but I want to tell you, at bedtime is one of the best times. When your child's just about to go to bed, and you teach them that same verse you've been working on for a week, and instead of just going over it rote, you change it to music. Oh, what that does for a child. Instead of just memorizing the words, now they've got a tune to go with it, and it becomes fun. Folks, you have opportunities to pray with your child, to explain that we don't have it all figured out. Yes, we are the parents, but we don't know it all yet. We're learning too. Folks, your children need to know that. They look at you and think you know everything. But we have to tell them early. We don't, because it isn't going to be long. They're going to figure it out. They're going to know that, oh, Dad, he doesn't know everything, that's for sure. So Bible stories, just a little short devotion. Don't read them a chapter of the Bible. It's too much when they're young. Read them a little story at bedtime that has good news about Christ. So, along with a nurturing environment, we also need a disciplined environment. And I know this isn't popular today. It hasn't been popular for years since we've been taught that you never spank children. You never have too many rules for your children. Again, the Lord tells us to train our children, Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. When we think about discipline, we think about a switch. We think about a belt. We think about a spanking. In Proverbs 22, verse 15, it says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. And I have people tell me, I love my child too much, I could never spank them. Well, the rod of correction is an important thing. I want to introduce you to something that we have had in our home since our children were little. This is off the lilac bush that grows out in front of our house. And I, as being an obedient parent, taught my children the rules of the house. I didn't beat them up with it. I just said, these are the rules. You can do this and this and this, but you can't do that. If you do that, you're going to get in trouble. I warned them two or three times before I would finally get to the spanking part. But I let them know, you got one more time and you're going to get a spanking. I was quite cruel in one way, in that I made my children go out and cut their own stick. That's a learning lesson for a child. They would come back with a little twig about that long, and I'd say, no, that won't do. It's got to sting a little bit. So they go out and they'd cut one about that long and eventually that long. And when they got about to here, I'd say, okay, that's the one. We don't spank in anger. We spank because we love them. I had a black friend at the shop that I worked with for years. Joe Beatty was his name. And when he was little, his dad came to him. His dad was a Christian man. And he came to him with a switch. And he said, Joe, I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to spank you. And little Joey looked up at his dad and said, Dad, I love you too, but I'm not spanking you. And his dad laughed so hard he couldn't spank him. He got away with it one time. I want to tell you, I love my children too much to not spank them. I never spanked them in anger. I never left a welt, but it stings. It has to be just enough so that it stings. Do it to yourself first. Get the feel so you know. And it doesn't take as much to sting a child as it does an adult. But if it just stings a little bit, they'll remember it. It's important. In Proverbs 13, verse 24, whoever spares the rod hates their children. But the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. I did not spank my children once they reached about the age of 11 or 12 or 13. It doesn't do the job. Once they're 11 or 12 or 13, you start taking away privileges. That hurts worse than a spanking. You can drive your child to wrath if they're 16 or 17, you're still trying to go out and cut a switch. Well, no. You see, I'm past that time now. You have to do it when they're little. And if you do it when they're little, they know who's in charge, and you don't have to do it when they're older. By the time they're 13 or 14, folks, by all means, stop spanking. It's not going to work. It's just going to make them angry. But up until that time, if you love your children, we need to discipline our children. There have to be rules in your house. One of the rules in my house when I was a boy was that you couldn't play in the street. Well, we grew up in Saginaw. Where else are you going to play? There were parks, but they were 4 or 5 blocks away. And so we always tried to figure out when Dad's getting home. And we would play in the road right beside the house behind, because Mom could see out here, but she couldn't see over there. So we'd go over there and play in the road. And when Dad would come home, I and my next older brother weren't real bright, and we didn't have a watch. My next older brother was pretty bright and had a watch, and he would just disappear. Along the road would come Dad, and guess who got it? We did. But my dad loved us, and he didn't want us getting hit. And so he had a rule, don't play in the road. We all knew it. He explained it very carefully. It wasn't like we didn't know. We just didn't want to do. Well, children need to know that disobedience has punishment. It's one of the ways we teach our children about our God, because disobedience has punishment. God tells us, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And so you teach your children how to be careful sowers. If you don't want soybeans, don't plant soybeans. If you want corn, plant corn. And so we teach them, and a step by step, they come along. Some of you remember the name James Dobson. Now, I don't know if he's still on the radio or not. He used to be a family Christian counselor. And James Dobson got a call in on the show. And it was about a 10-year-old boy. He was a total rebel. He was causing trouble in the family. And the man said, Dr. Dobson, if you had that child as your son, what would you do? And Dr. Dobson said, the first thing I would do is sit that child down, tell him that I and his mother love him with all our heart. There are certain rules, son, that you have to obey. You can have all kinds of fun doing all kinds of things, but there are 4 rules, or whatever number of rules he would have had, that you cannot do. If you do those things, I'm going to have to spank you. If you don't do those things, we're going to get along wonderfully. We're going to have a lot of fun together. He said that would help that child just to know that he's loved, just to know that there is an order to the family. We don't make rules just to make our kids miserable. We make rules so they're safe, so they can learn and they can grow to be the person God created them to be. And so If we do those things, if our children operate within the boundaries that the parents set, everything's perfect. If they don't, they begin to learn that every time I go beyond that boundary, I get a spanking. I wonder if I should stop going beyond the boundary. Maybe that'd be smart. And it translates right into the Christian faith, because when they begin to grow up, they're going to be tempted to break the boundaries that they know God has set. Because as their parent, you are teaching them what God's boundaries are as well. Is it okay to have premarital sex? Is it okay to go into the girl's shower because I think I'm a girl? God, all that's explained in His Word, and they'll know it, and they'll have a better life. One of the nice things about having two parents is one can be the good cop, one can be the bad cop. In our marriage, I was the bad cop. My wife, I don't know if she ever spanked the kids. Probably not. Maybe once, I don't know. But in any event, I was the bad cop. They would do something that was clearly outside the boundaries, and Mimi would say, when your dad gets home, you're in trouble. Until then, go down to your room and wait for your dad. When I would get home, I would go back with the child, with Mimi, learn what they had done, sit down with the child and explain to them what they had done and what the punishment was that was promised ahead of time was, and I would give them a pair of clippers and tell them, go out and cut your switch. They knew it. And they knew if I do it again, guess what? I'm going to get the clippers again. And they learned, and they turned out to be pretty good kids. It isn't a matter we're trying to change them from the person God made them to be. We're trying to help them to be all the person God made them to be. We don't exasperate our children. We don't provoke them to anger. But we do raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, I want to encourage you, if you claim to be a Christian, and I think probably everybody in this room does, if you claim to be a Christian, you're trying to train your children in the ways of the Lord, make sure that you've trained yourself in the ways of the Lord. Because a mediocre Christian, a Christian who lives it on Sunday but doesn't live it during the week, a dad who shows no love for a mother who shows no love for her children, those children are not going to listen to what you're saying. They're going to see in action what's actually going on in the home, and they'll know that it's all a fake. I want to encourage you, be a sold-out Christian. Get it in your heart that you're going to live for the Lord's glory. Get it in your heart you're going to raise those children for God's glory. This isn't about you. This is about God and about your children. Get it into your heart that you love the Lord so much you want to raise those children to be like Jesus Christ. We don't have perfect children. They don't have perfect parents. But we're seeking to get there. Father, so grateful for your word and your promises in your word. Father, I'm grateful that you give us the gift of children, Lord. What a blessing children are, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. They keep joy and hope in our lives. Father, I pray you'll make us the parents and the grandparents that we should be, that we might shower them with love and affection and discipline for their good and for your glory. And Father, we'll be sure to give you the praise in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen.